turn now to the world's largest car market, and that would be China. Chinese car makers say they want to crack the American car market, but how likely is that? If it's going to happen, when? And what would all of that mean for auto jobs here in Michigan? Let's turn to Michael Dunn for some answers. 3 weeks after getting his MBA and MA degrees at the University of Michigan, Dunn hopped a plane and headed to Asia. That was in 1990. In the 22 years since, Dunn has become a leading expert on Asia's emerging car markets, from China to Thailand to India. These days, he divides his time between China and Indonesia. He is the author of American Wheels, Chinese Roads, the story of General Motors in China. And Michael Dunn joins us now. Michael, the China Passenger Car Association is projecting sales of 20 million vehicles in China for this year. Put that in some perspective for us. What's the projected sales number in the U.S. this year?
Right. China has already surpassed the U.S. And this year, the U.S. will get up around 15 million units. So China's already larger. And if we look out 5-10 years from now, China will soon be twice the size of the U.S. market.
Now, China's economy is slowing down, but when you look at the GDP growth in China and our growth, we should have such problems, right? It's a relative slowdown.
That's right. For the last several years, China's car market's been growing at a clip of better than 20% per year. This year, it'll be in the single digits, but that's still adding more than a million cars a year. All automakers will take that. You know, if you look at Europe, the United States, South America, China is still a star on the global stage of making cars and making money from making cars.
So let's talk about that big, juicy market of Chinese car buyers. Now, as for the Japanese car makers, China's having some pretty hot political tensions over those little tiny disputed islands in the East China Sea with Japan. So what has that meant in sales of the big Japanese brands in China?
Oh, they've taken a tremendous hit. Production is down up to 50%. There's serious animosity, it always has been, between China and Japan. And it's not only are they not buying Japanese cars, but in some instances are even attacking people who drive Japanese cars.
Wow.
Now, there's a twist to this that's not well known here in the United States, and in fact, outside of China. For every Japanese car built in China, those are built at joint ventures that are owned at least in half by Chinese partners.
Mm-hmm.
So every time Japanese car business takes a hit in China, the Chinese partners also take a hit in terms of employment, tax revenues, and profits. So look for the Chinese government to try to right this ship, separate the issue of the islands out from the business of building and selling cars in China, because in a way, China is shooting itself in its foot by not buying Japanese cars inside China.
Could it be that the Chinese companies involved in the joint ventures with the Japanese companies, would they switch alliance and go to a U.S. or European company?
That anything is possible, but you know, in China, they have what we refer to as the many Detroits of China. All of the cities are fiercely competitive with each other. So Shanghai battles against Guangzhou. Guangzhou gangs up on Beijing and so on. So it's a zero-sum game, and it's not immediately clear that Guangzhou would be able to switch alliances to a German or American manufacturer. Mm-hmm. It may, in fact, all the money may go to Shanghai, and that's a problem inside China because Guangzhou is the number one economy within China, the biggest taxpayer to Beijing, the central government, and if Guangzhou hurts, China hurts. So look for them to try to sort this out sooner rather than later.
Let's, if we can, Michael Dunn, break down the situation for the Detroit 3 for us. Clearly, doing the best in China in terms of sales appears to be General Motors, correct?
By far. General Motors is going to sell this year 2.5 million cars in China. Buicks, 75% of Buicks sold globally are sold in China. General Motors is second only to Volkswagen in the overall market with about 10% market share. Second in line is Ford, on track for between 550 and 600,000 car sales this year, roughly a fifth of what GM does.
Mm-hmm.
And then way down the ladder is Chrysler, which will maybe, if they're lucky, sell about 60,000 Jeeps and sedans this year in China.
Now, Ford, I know, is targeting sales in excess of a million vehicles in China by 2015. So they're obviously looking at this market, even though the market share is only about 2%. But they're looking at their pretty, you know, Ford sales were up, what, 39% from August 2010 to August 2011. So is that targeted sales of a million vehicles realistic, in your opinion?
Definitely realistic. Ford's never been in better shape in China than today. They've got momentum. The brand is getting stronger. People are liking Ford products. And most importantly, Ford's committed to massive additional investments with new products, including SUVs, which are the hottest segment in China today. And there is very strong probability they'll hit a million. They may even surpass it by that date.
Well, Michael, what about Chrysler then? When you say that SUVs are hot, wouldn't a shiny Jeep look great in Guangzhou?
You know what? Chrysler, in a sense, is star-crossed. They should be on top of the world in China because of their strength in Jeeps. In fact, Chrysler was the first American car company to enter way back in 1984 with a joint venture with Beijing. They built Jeeps. At that time, Chinese people considered Jeeps beneath them. Jeeps were something that farmers and construction crews drove, not the urban elite.
Huh.
You just didn't want to be associated with a Jeep in the 80s and 90s. Suddenly in the 2000s, that changed, unfortunately for Chrysler, through their acquisition with Daimler, sort of lost their ability to produce inside China. They find themselves on the outside looking in now, and they're working very hard to re-secure a license to produce their Jeeps inside China. So even though they're an iconic leader globally in Jeeps and SUVs are the hottest segment, they're sort of feeling star-crossed and slighted on the outside, trying to get back in.
Michael, China's automakers certainly have not cracked North America or European car markets very much, have they? It's basically, what, Middle East and Southeast Asia as far as selling cars.
That's right.
But the parts and components made in China are making huge inroads in America, Japan, and Europe. Is that a good thing for our suppliers?
You know, the world of business is going to look for low cost, and China has proven itself to be an ideal place to manufacture simple parts at high scale and low cost. The big question mark that looms over this scenario, however, is that many, if not all of those companies enjoy subsidies from local and central governments in China. What kinds of subsidies? Energy, subsidized land, financing, even in some cases labor, rebates on exports. They get a tax rebate on exports. All of these feed into a systematic effort to export to the United States. And as you say, the growth has been sensational. But is it fair growth? Is it based on a level playing field? That's doubtful.
There are reports that some Chinese suppliers are actually making decisions to make product for their domestic market at the expense of shipping to U.S. customers. Do you see this growing? And how will this impact U.S. suppliers and in turn the automakers?
Well, Chinese automakers and parts suppliers in particular are always going to feel more comfortable at home. They know the regulations. They know the regulators. They know their customers, the language, the rules. They're all quite familiar to them. And now that China is the biggest car market in the world, they say, why fool around with trying to make things work overseas? Let's just stay home and make money in our own backyard. I don't know to the extent at which that will undermine or hurt American automakers, but it is a trend.
Now, inflation has gone up in China, and you've got the change in the exchange rate of Chinese currency. So the cost to ship from China is going up for U.S. companies as well. Right now, are there other countries in Asia, Thailand or India, that could take that business from China?
There's no question. Thailand in particular is a rising star in the auto industry. It will export more than a million cars this year, and it exports to over 100 countries. So once China's labor rates get too high and shipping costs get too high, some of the automakers will shift production to places like Thailand, possibly even Indonesia. But let's not forget the number one reason why the American automakers are there and the parts suppliers are there is that it's the biggest market in the world and has been the fastest growing. That won't change anytime soon. So it's not as if they'll flee China, but they're always looking at, well, if it gets too expensive, we need to move offshore. However, we need to keep one foot inside China to cater to this very attractive market.
If you're just joining us here on Stateside, we're speaking with Michael Dunn, who's a top expert on China's auto industry. He's president of Dunn & Company, Hong Kong-based consultancy specializing in Asian car markets. And we're talking about the Chinese car market, the largest car market in the world, and what it means for, obviously, here in Detroit and in the Michigan area, we care about our domestic car makers. I want to double back, if I can, to the Chinese auto industry in general and ask you this, Michael Dunn. What is the biggest misconception that American consumers have about the Chinese auto industry?
When I come back to the United States, people ask, how soon are we going to see Chinese cars over here? And in their minds, they think, wow, it's the biggest market in the world. It must be ready to manufacture cars of a quality that the Japanese and Koreans have accomplished. Mm-hmm. Or if they're not doing it yet, they'll be there in a couple of years. Well, that's very far from the truth. Chinese automakers are at least 5, maybe 10 years behind American, European, and Japanese, Korean in terms of quality and reliability. So there's no immediate threat of having an invasion by Chinese car makers in China. Chinese car makers don't mind talking about it, setting very ambitious goals. We'll be in America next year. They started to say this in 2005. They're still far away from it. It's a difficult competitive industry, and you just don't turn a switch and now you can enter the U.S. market. So biggest misconception would be that the Chinese are about to be the next Japan or the next Korea.
So it appears that their strength will be in pumping out those parts and components to
That's
the other
right.
markets.
Which are much simpler. It's a much simpler business equation. Just manufacture a part often designed overseas. We can manufacture it in China cheaply, then re-export it to the U.S.
I want to talk to you, if I could, a little bit about your life in Asia. You left Ann Arbor, University of Michigan, in 1990.
Mm-hmm.
Your life is based in China and Jakarta, Indonesia. How have you seen things change in your more than two decades of, really, you're straddling the two worlds, so you have a fascinating perspective. How has life changed in China and our relations, just the way the U.S. is regarded? We see mm-hmm. the Chinese students on the campuses here in a way that was never there when we were growing up.
Right. Number one, when I first went to Asia, the United States was the absolute superpower in the world in the early 90s. And what the U.S. said was right, or at least highly regarded, respected. Today, especially since the financial crisis 2008, China, when it hears America say things, thinks and thinks again and says, well, that's what you say. Now let's consider our own opinion. And our opinion counts these days because, oh, by the way, we're sitting on $3.2 trillion in reserves. We have a massive economy, second biggest in the world. And in fact, by 2020, we'll be bigger than the United States. So there's been a sea change in terms of their perspective of themselves vis-a-vis the United States. Chinese like to see themselves as equals, and increasingly, in some meetings, as leaders. We're ahead of you guys. We work harder, we're more ambitious, we're more competitive, and you guys in the States have had it too easy too long, and maybe you've lost the eye of the tiger a little bit. That's a big change from 20 years ago. Massive. Now, in simpler ways, when I first went to China, very few people owned a car. Almost no private people owned a car. Those that did were government officials. Today, it's common for everybody in my office there to have their own car and drive to work every day. That's a monumental change in less than 20 years.
Fascinating insights. Michael Dunn, thank you so much for talking with us today on Stateside.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Michael Dunn is president of Dunn & Company, based in Hong Kong, and he's the author of American Wheels, Chinese Roads, the story of General Motors in China. Stateside's executive producer is Zoe Clark. Stateside is engineered by Bob Scon. Our contributors are Allie Billings, Ellen Cortezoa, Emily Fox, Cameron Stewart, and Mercedes Mejia. This program is a production of Michigan Radio, a broadcasting service of the University of Michigan. I'm Cynthia Canty. Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk again tomorrow at 3.